From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pittsburgh, California.
Oh, I'm not from the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Pinole, California.
San Jose.
I'm from Paradise, California, up north.
Coming up, Bay Area Jews head to the desert to reclaim their biblical roots.
I caught fire, and all of a sudden I had to learn the ancient traditions.
Then we'll visit the StoryCorps booth to hear about a Bay Area love story.
I just feel like we could be in any situation together, and we could deal with it so well. A zombie apocalypse.
And we meet some folks who can tell you the story behind this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
For those of you guys who can't see me in Radioland, I'm wearing a big drag queen wig and some really cute moccasins.
Mystery and magic. That's today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. We start today with our series, The Spiritual Edge, stories at the intersection of innovation and belief.
I'm a Muslim.
I am a Jewish.
I have no religion.
I'm Christian.
Reformed Judaism.
I'm Catholic.
Muslim. Not religious.
Buddhist.
Southern Baptist.
Hindu.
Atheist.
Christian.
Agnostic.
Catholic.
This Friday, Jewish families all over the world will sit down to Passover Seder and celebrate the beginning of the week-long holiday. It's an ancient tradition that brings up a modern question. Are American Jews having an identity crisis? That's what a 2013 Pew Research study seems to show. It found more people who, though born Jewish, don't really identify with the religion. What the Pew report didn't capture is a diverse trend. Innovative organizations are popping up all around the country. Jewish after-school programs, Jewish farms, Jewish LGBTQ and environmental groups, all building bridges between ancient and contemporary cultures. KALW's Judy Silber was intrigued by the idea of exploring her own Jewish heritage in a more modern way. In this story from our archives, she brings us the story of one Berkeley-based organization that's bringing Judaism's ancient teachings to life.
I'm Jewish. I feel a strong affinity for Judaism, the beauty of its rituals, teachings, and music. And it can be hard to relate. The Old Testament has a demanding God and strange customs, like animal sacrifices. And then there's Jewish law called halakha with its crazy complicated rules about how to run your life, what foods you can or cannot eat, what clothes you can or cannot wear, and how you observe the holidays. This past spring, I tagged along with Wilderness Torah, one group that's trying to bring new meaning to the old tradition. Passover is one of the most important holidays on the Jewish calendar. Traditionally, you tell the story of the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt over an elaborate family meal. Wilderness Torah takes the story to the desert.
Welcome! You're here! You made it! Out of Egypt! Ready for some liberation?
Woo. About 150 people are gathering in a remote spot called Panamint Valley, 8 hours south of the Bay Area. As we arrive, a warm wind swirls dust in our faces. A friendly woman in her 30s dabs our foreheads with a wet cloth.
It is hot, like really hot.
The desert feels big and suffocating. I think of the Israelites and the Passover story. In Egypt, they were slaves. With the help of God, Moses, and a few miracles, they escaped, crossing the Red Sea into the desert. Then they got scared and wanted to turn back.
This song is to inform you of some hazards that exist on this land.
Rattlesnakes, black widows, spiders, and scorpions.
Rattlesnakes, spiders, and scorpions. It's easy to see why they wanted to go back.
So really, Wilderness Torah is a project of remembering.
Zelig Golden is the founding director of Wilderness Torah.
It's a project of remembering something very, very ancient about being an ancient indigenous people while contextualizing that for our modern time.
A decade ago, Golden was an environmental lawyer. Like many American Jewish kids, after his bar mitzvah, he became less involved with Judaism. But then at 30, something changed.
I caught fire. And all of a sudden, I had to learn the ancient traditions. I had to learn the ancient language. I had to begin to understand, like, what our ancestors had passed down to me.
Golden was also interested in Native American traditions. He went on a 3-day vision quest in 2007. There, he says, he heard a message. Reconnect your people to the natural world. Not too long after, he organized the first Wilderness Torah festival.
Within the sacred text are embedded powerful lessons about how to relate to each other, how to relate to the earth, and how to walk in a sacred manner on this planet.
All around us in the desert are signs that this is a uniquely Jewish experience, like the kosher food and Hebrew words tossed casually into conversation. Or that big sound, which comes from an ancient instrument called a shofar, made from the long, curved horn of a ram. Dinner in the desert is held in a large, open-air tent decorated with colorful tapestries. As we eat, I look around. The people here are a smorgasbord of Jews. People who grew up Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, or nothing at all. Some go to synagogue or keep kosher, and some don't. Wilderness Torah attracts a lot of young people in their 20s and 30s, earthy hippie types. But there are others in their 40s and 50s and families drawn to the special programming for teenagers and kids. I talked to the Yusim family, originally from Ukraine, now living in San Jose. Andy Yusim is 8 years old. Can you tell me about your connection to Judaism? Do you feel Jewish?
I don't know what it means.
You don't know what it means to be Jewish?
I know what it means to be Jewish, but I don't know what Judaism means.
Like many ethnic groups, the strands of Jewish culture are growing weaker through the generations. Andy's mom, Irene, says that's why they're in the desert. She wants her children to know their heritage.
You know, I don't want them to grow up and say, Mom, you didn't tell me I was Jewish. You didn't tell me, you know, we have traditions and holidays. So I'm doing what I can. I don't know a whole lot myself, but I want them to know that this is what it is, and there are all kinds of people who celebrate it in all kinds of ways.
Throughout the festival, I ask people about their relationship to Judaism. Many tell me they feel connected, but they also struggle.
I don't really know how to define my relationship to Judaism.
I wrestle with ideas of God.
A lot of the people in my family didn't believe in God, but they said, you must follow religion, but there was no meaning to it for me, and I found that hard.
You know, reading the text in synagogue, yeah, it didn't really have, like, a lot of connection to my daily life.
I do not like the patriarchal aggression that happens towards the repression of women.
The conflict also is, like, the other parts of you, you know, being American, being other interests, other passions.
So I sort of went, yeah, and left it all and married a Catholic and just went away. But I still felt I missed some sense of belonging that I needed.
Friday, my second day in the desert, I talk with Jacqueline Marks in the early morning.
It was wonderful waking up this morning. I slept really without a sleeping bag. It was so warm, and I woke up to the sun rising and to some music and a few people shuffling around, and it was very peaceful. So our tent is right next to this beautiful mountain range, and it's black and red and white, and it's a very unique spot to be camping.
In the afternoon, I meet someone with special insight on the significance of the desert in Jewish tradition.
I'm Ted Ryder, and I'm a rabbi.
Ryder is off duty now, a Jewish seeker in the desert just like the rest of us. I still ask for his wisdom. He says the desert is a raw and empty place where transformation is possible.
You know, Moses was out in the desert. Elijah was out in the desert. In the Christian tradition, Jesus was out in the desert for days and days. It was there that they found the answers to questions maybe they weren't even asking.
Saturday is Shabbat, the Sabbath, the day of rest. Traditionally, people pray and study at the synagogue. We gather in the meeting tent. We sing songs and say Hebrew prayers and read from a Torah that survived the Holocaust, though its original owners did not. Its presence brings up what some people say they think about a lot. They feel responsible to ancestors who suffered or died for their faith. An irony is clear. Today, American Jews are free to practice without fear, perhaps more so than any other time in history. And yet, precisely because there is so much freedom, it requires a deliberate choice to stay involved. After the service, Wilderness Torah director Zelig Golden tells us each of us will go into the desert by ourselves. We will stake out an isolated spot and sit there for a few hours. We've talked a lot about the Passover story. Golden says it's now time to embody it.
There is some mystery here. You go out to be in the land by yourself, and, you know, it might just be a nice walk in the sunshine, in the wind. And, you know, it might be a lot more.
I walk northeast for a ways. Sitting by a creosote bush, I crumple desert dirt in my hands, pick up a rock, look up at the vast sky, and ponder the questions of my life. No ready answers come, but I feel joy. The desert is special. It's quiet.
So I'd love to hear from perhaps a few of you, just like a word or a phrase from what you brought back from your wilderness encounter. Anyone?
Just listen.
Be like the wind.
Call for what you want, even if you don't know who's listening.
Get down on the ground.
Stand on your head.
In celebration, the group sings and dances for hours. The late night moon is rising when I sit down with Jacqueline Marks again.
What I love about Wilderness Torah and these types of immersive retreats is they're full of so much song and music and prayer and teaching. And I think there's a lot of magic that happens here. I have not found such a deep spiritual connection to Judaism and to God in other places.
For this chant, we're going to have a moment of silence in the chant, and during that beat, I want you to listen to the heartbeat of the earth. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu
Adonai Echad. In the morning, I will return to the Bay Area, happily connected to my heritage and ethnic birthright. It's a powerful feeling, knowing that among 7 billion people on the planet, you belong somewhere. For Cross Currents, I'm Judy Silber.
Wilderness Torah's next visit to the desert starts next week. To find out more, go to KALW.org and click on Spiritual Edge. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. While some people find a sense of belonging through religion, others find that feeling through a connection to someone special. That leads us to today's StoryCorps from San Francisco. Jaina McRae, a dancer, first met David Dublin Schwartz, a singer, during a rehearsal at San Francisco's Treat Street Social Club. They sat down together in the StoryCorps booth to share a few highlights of how their relationship evolved over time into love.
When is that moment that you sort of let somebody know that you are interested in them for real and would, you know, want to kiss them? The first time I ever saw you was at Treat Street Social Club on Treat Street in San Francisco. Oh. And you came in during a rehearsal, and you were wearing sweatpants and like a sweatshirt or something. And one day you came up and talked to me, and you lightly tapped me on the leg with your foot. It was intimate, sort of, and it was playful. And the thought went through my head, you know, I like this person. You know, who is this person? I should have just said right then, do you have a boyfriend or what? But I didn't. So we made a date to hang out.
And then instead of just being like, oh yeah, let's like meet for coffee and chat for an hour, you're like, yeah, like let's go on a hike. It takes about 3 hours. I was like, okay, he might be interested in me. But I didn't want to get my hopes up.
It might have been that day or just a few days before we went on the hike. You just lost your grandfather. And you talked about that. And your grandfather reminded me a lot of my grandfather. And we had like a pretty deep conversation. And there was such a, who this person, like, we're meant to be friends. We're meant to know each other.
And then the third date when we did actually kiss at that horrible show, or the like half horrible show.
It was world music hip hop, I guess. I don't know.
It was like fusion-y, like cumbia and salsa.
It was like it was 1997 or something. I don't know. It's just
not your bag, babe.
It wasn't. It's not my bag. And I look down at you, and where there's like people around us, and we're kind of like just drinking water, and so I'm just waiting this band out, and you're with me, and we just started kissing, and it was great, but so funny, because I was also wondering, does she like this group? Because this is the worst. But, and then we kissed outside for a long time. And
like, you were about to walk away, like, we were sort of saying goodbye, and I was like, I really like you. And you said, you're like, really? Because I think I've liked you from the moment I met you. And I was just so excited. I was, like, so excited that it was so, like, clear and easy to tell each other that. I just kind of feel like if I'm with somebody like you and I'm, like, being creative and I'm with and have a family, like, it's what matters.
Yeah. You, I just feel like we could be in any situation together and we could deal with it so well together. You know, any situation, a zombie apocalypse, I don't know, just anything. Yeah, I'm just so sure of it and I'm so glad.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Mic drop.
Turn them up. On a night like this, something.
Jaina and David have since moved in together in Richmond, and though it's not official, they have long-term plans for wedding bells and maybe even children. The pair share their story at the San Francisco Library StoryCorps booth. Their interview was facilitated by Yosme Del Mazo and produced by KELW's Marlo McKenzie.
We hunt for beats among all the ghosts in the sunken streets, along with us here is breathing drunken heat, the only way to being someone's freak. Every tunnel key.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's Audiograph's Julie Kane.
We've been hearing about unexpected connections in some unexpected places today. And this week's mystery sound fits right in. Okay, what do you think? Have a guess? Let's let KALW's Chris Hambrick tell us the story.
There's a place in the Bay Area where you can hear a lot of things that don't necessarily go together.
Well, 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 well.
Thank you for spending the day with dinosaurs. Let's get going on your Jurassic journey.
San Francisco!
The Warriors started here. The Sharks started here. Exhibitions, body art shows.
That's Paul Greenbaum. He's the events manager here.
Fishing shows. Every year we have the Grand National Rodeo, Golden Gate Kennel Club Dog Show. So pretty much every show that you can think of has been here, from the Beatles' first show in the United States to Elvis.
This is the Cow Palace. Originally, it was built exactly for that, cow expos. But now, just like the Bay Area, it contains all kinds of things. Last year, nearly 250,000 people passed through the doors to attend about 75 different events.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Today, there's something new happening. Up ahead is a sea of color and sound. People of all ages wear intricately beaded moccasins, fringe capes with green, purple, and blue designs, leather dresses and shirts, pants and skirts festooned with pink and yellow feathers and bells. Lots of bells.
I'm Derek Smith. I'm a board member with BATES. That's Bay Area American Indian Two Spirits.
Two Spirit is an idea that's been around for a long time.
In a lot of tribes, it was a gender variant person, you know, maybe a very masculine woman or a very feminine man, or someone who kind of walked two worlds. And that's what we're reclaiming. That's what we call now ourselves as LGBT people or two-spirit people.
This is the only powwow open to the public that welcomes two-spirit people. Two drum circles take turns keeping a rhythm. People come together in the center of the room at various times to dance.
Hello, everyone. My name is Charlie Ballard. I'm Anishinaabe, Second Fox, born in San Francisco, raised mostly in Oakland, product of Oakland Public Schools. Woohoo! Holla!
Ballard's been coming to this powwow every year since it started in 2012.
For those of you guys who can't see me in Radioland, I'm wearing a big drag queen wig and some really cute moccasins. And by the way, I'm 6'4", 290. Just a visual. Just try to pay a visual there.
That is a great visual.
We're all decked out, having a good time, enjoying our song and dance, and getting to spend time with friends and family, making new friends, and taking a lot of selfies.
Powwows, concerts, dog shows, and rodeos. The Cow Palace is so huge, it can handle it all. My favorite discovery here? Cow cans. Yes, the Cow Palace has special garbage cans painted black and white to look like Holstein cows. For Cross Currents, I'm Chris Hambrick, having a mooing good time at the Cow Palace.
The Cow Palace has been part of the Bay Area landscape for a long time, and lots of you knew that.
This is Jeff Levine, and that's the Cow Palace. Yay, finally something I could identify.
We're so happy you got it right. We're going to send you a KLW t-shirt. For the rest of you, we've got a new sound for you. Are you ready? Here we go.
Okay, positions and heave.
I just have a blast. It's really fun. And I guess I mean a figurative blast. Not literal, because we don't have any gunpowder.
And the moment I say fire, everyone go boom. Fire! Boom!
Think you know what that was and where we recorded it? Give us a call at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane.
Fire! Boom!
Thanks, Julie. You can also email us at news@kalw.org or catch up with us on Facebook and Twitter @KALW. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio.
Our team includes Leela Day, Sandhya Dirks, Hannah Kingsley-Ma, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Raja Shah, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Nina Gensler-Debs. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by San Francisco band Friction Quartet. They're playing at the Brava Theater on Saturday afternoon as part of the 8th annual Switchboard Music Festival, and they start at 3:15 in the afternoon. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.